Hey there, sports history fan. Arnie Chapman here from the Sports History Network. Now, before you jump into this episode, I wanted to share with you an exciting giveaway we have going on with Home Field Apparel. We have a digital $50 gift card to homefieldapparel.com for one lucky fan of the Sports History Network. All you got to do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways to sign up. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
It seems so natural and commonplace to us that coming out of halftime, you're going to have one team kicking off the ball to the other team, opposite of who did it in the first half. But that wasn't always the case. There were thoughts of eliminating the second half kickoff and replacing it with some alternatives. Timothy P. Brown of footballarchaeology.com visits us today to tell us about the ideas of 100-some years ago of how they wanted to replace the second half kickoff. Tim's coming up with a story in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are going to go in a really historic mode here and go with Timothy P. Brown and his footballarchaeology.com daily tidbits. He has one from January that we're going to talk about the kickoffs starting the second half. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Darren, thank you. Appreciate being here and looking forward to chatting once again this evening.
Yeah, it's this is an interesting topic that you talk about. We know it, you know, traditionally in football. I can't think of a football game where I've ever had anything else besides a few, unless you get some exotic like the original XFL, where you start the game in or each half with a kickoff. And the second half is no exception. And you've got an interesting story from the past on the second half kickoff that we'd love to hear about.
Yeah. So this is, this story, and I think kind of to put it in context, you kind of have to start from the standpoint that football is a game and all games are just made up. It's got a made up set of rules and they're totally arbitrary. You know, if we decided tomorrow that a touchdown was going to be worth 24 points, boom, we make the change and that's what it is. It just everything about the game is arbitrary. So, basketball, you could give people 2 steps per dribble or use a 12-foot high basket. Baseball could be 3 balls and 2 strikes, so anything is, it's all negotiable. So for various reasons, there's been times when people wanted to get rid of the kickoff in the second half. And football had a kickoff in the second half because soccer, rugby had one. And, that's kind of the only reason we had it. And there's been suggestions to get rid of it for safety reasons. Amos Alonzo Stagg, argued for it, going back in the day. But so there periodically, this is what is an idea that kind of came up time and again and just never happened. So it came up in 1898. It came up in 1928. It came up in the 30s a couple times, but it just never happened. Because one of the ideas that people threw out there was, instead of kicking off in the second half, just put the ball back where it was at the end of the first half. And the team that had possession just takes possession and just carries on because, kind of the thinking was halftime's really just to allow the players to rest. So just put the ball back where it was, right?
So almost like ending like the first quarter going to the second quarter, the third quarter going to the fourth quarter, that kind of idea?
Yeah, okay. Exactly, right? Okay. So that's actually a great, that's a great kind of analogy. I mean, we had the quarter system came in later on too, right? But anyways, so if you think about it, just one of the fun things to play with is kind of what, how would it change the game strategy? You know, if we adopted, you know, if next year for college football, we said, you know what, we're not going to kick off in the second half anymore. We're going to put the ball wherever it was spotted at the end of the first half. So if you're on offense, how does that change your thinking about what you're doing at the end of the first half? You know, if you have it on the 48 or the 38, yeah, you're probably not going to try a long field goal just because time's running out. You know, you're not going to be as risky perhaps in your play calling, you know, because, you know, and both, you know, in certain situations, you might also be willing to, you know, if you turn the ball over, either on downs or otherwise, you know, you still got your opponent deep in their end zone. So even if they start the second half with the ball, they're down on the 2 or on the 10 or on the 15, whatever it may be. So just, you know, some of those kinds of things, it's kind of interesting to think about how would that change the game? You know, I mean, like if you're trying to manage the clock at the end of the first half, you know, there's really no reason to manage the clock very much, right?
It would definitely take an exciting element out of the game because there's that panic and urgency at the end of each half, you know, the end of the game, definitely, but the end of the first half, there's that urgency to, hey, I got to get in field goal range or go into that 2 minute or 4 minute offense to get down there. And there's an excitement that, you know, really puts you on the edge of your seat, so to speak. And, you know, that would be definitely an element that would probably be taken away that I think a lot of football traditionalists would be up in arms if they said, like you said, college football is going to no second half kickoff. You know,
Well, okay. But the flip side of that, and so, I mean, we know that this excitement has evolved, right? Because there were times like the whole 2 minute drill, that's, you know, that didn't really come about till the late 50s, early 60s. So, you know, some of this stuff has evolved. So maybe different approaches would have evolved. The other side of it is imagine the first half ends and I'm on offense and I've got the ball on your 2 yard line. Okay. Well, half ends, we go into our locker rooms and then we come back out on the field. And now the whole time you're sitting there thinking, damn, they've got the ball on the 2. And I'm like, whoo, we've got the ball on the 2. You know, so, I mean, there would be a whole lot of other kinds of anticipation during halftime, thinking about what you're going to do. How are you going to respond to, you know, what play am I going to call? What defense are you going to, you know, try to call, you know, against it, you know? So I don't know. I think there's some, there, you know, potentially are some interesting things, but the other side of it is some of this same kind of dissatisfaction with, you know, with kind of the way the half ended. You know, there were times where, and I've written an article about this too, but there's been times when people proposed getting rid of the clock entirely. And instead of playing, you know, for 15 minutes, they would play 20 play quarters. So whoever got the ball, you know, if they had a 19 play drive, well, then the other team would only get one play that quarter. And there were actually, you know, there were some test games, you know, using that in the, I want to say like 22-23 era. Some people argued for giving teams 5 downs inside the 20 because they wanted to give them a chance to score, right? So anyway, and then other people, even like Pop Warner, argued for giving teams a point for every first down. You know, so, you know, I don't know. These are all kind of bizarre little, well, we think they're bizarre because we're used to a certain set of rules, but all three of those, the change in the our elimination of the kickoff makes sense too. It's just a different idea.
Yeah, I can remember back in my officiating days, and this is pretty recent, probably like 15, 20 years ago, where you had the traditional second half coin toss. It really wasn't a coin toss. It was just the captains would come out and make their choices what the, this is before they had deferment. You could defer the first half kickoff.
Yeah.
Only had, you take the ball or, you know, which end of the field. Those are your two choices back in high school in those days. So about the time they had deferment, they came up with eliminating that second half conference of the captain of the team that lost the first half coin toss to deciding what to do. So you would, now what they do is you go, when you go in the locker room to grab the teams, the officials that go in there, you ask the coach, hey, you know, you want the ball, right? And, you know, usually you don't want to give them a choice, so they make a wrong choice, and you don't really have the kids make the choices, because that really goes bonkers and sometimes upside down, and kids just didn't understand. And that's really what happened, why they did that with the deferment rule, because the first couple years of the deferment, kids would come out there and their coach would say, if we win the toss, we want to defer so we can have the second off kickoff. So the kids would come out, win the coin toss, and say, we want to defend that goal, because that's what coach told us. And they so we go, really, that's what you want to do? Yeah, the coach says. I'm like, okay. And you go to the other team. Yeah, I'll take the ball. They get the ball both halves. So that's something that came to my mind when you're talking about that, eliminating the second half kickoff, because there's sort of a parity and a fairness to that. Okay, you won the coin toss and you get the kickoff in the first half, but in the second half, the other team gets it, to sort of level that out with, try, you know, as best you can to have the, you know, even amount of chances to score, I guess, is, even though it doesn't really work out that way very often.
Yeah.
But at least on paper, it sounds pretty good, sounds pretty fair. And I'm just sitting there thinking, man, if they did something like you're talking, if that would have ever took place, how important would that opening kick, opening coin toss be? I mean, nobody would, you know, there wouldn't be deferment anymore, because you wouldn't have a second half option, and nobody would pick a goal. You would say, hey, I want the ball. There's no doubt about it. You'd be on offense first if you won.
Right. But, you know, originally in football, you know, when it, just like, you know, if you watch a soccer match today, the team that starts the game by kicking the ball, they keep possession of it. And that's the way football is too. You know, the kicking team just dribbled it a couple of feet and then picked it up and tossed it to one of their buddies. Right. I mean, the original flying wedge, that was what that was all about. You dribble, kick it, a couple of feet, and then the wedge closes on the guy who's the kicker, and they start running down the field. So, you know, that, a lot of that stuff, you know, I mean, at one point it would have been crazy to say, well, you got to kick the ball at least 10 yards, but, you know, that took like 2 decades or something to, for that rule to come into play. So, you know, the kickoff has not always been what, you know, what it is today.
The other thing that comes to my mind is, I guess, in comparison, is sort of what basketball did with the tip off. And remember, you used to have a tip off both halves. Every time, you know, joint possession, you'd have a tip off. Now they have the possession arrows. Just, you really have that one tip off, and just alternate back and forth to try to put some parity in there. But
that's a really good analogy. But, you know, football also used to switch directions every time a team scored. You know,
really? Wow.
Yeah. That's back, you know, 1800s. But, you know, that's what they did.
Boy,
you scored and you switched.
That's an officiating nightmare there, especially with less officials that they had back then. Wow. That's something. Huh. Well, very interesting stuff. That's interesting. I'm glad it didn't happen that way. I'm glad it is the way it is. I'm more.
You're just a traditionalist.
I love the way it is. Yeah, I know.
You got to be more flexible there.
I'm pretty rigid on that kind of stuff. But great stuff. I love to hear history like that. That's you know, something you don't hear every day, and I haven't heard before. So very interesting. So Tim, you have these tidbits that come out each and every day, and I'm sure the listeners would love to know how they can too read about your tidbits. So why don't you share that information with them, please?
Well, I'm going to defer that to the next podcast. How about
that? Okay. Well, we're not having a second half one. So sorry, you lost your choice.
Okay. So, So, you know, if you're interested, if you want to make sure you get it every day, or at least see it every day, you just go to my website, footballarchaeology.com. You can subscribe, and what will happen, you'll get an email every night, 7 o'clock Eastern, with, you know, basically an email, you know, newsletter kind of format, with the story. Alternatively, you can go to the site and read it, or you can follow me on Twitter at Football Archaeology.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Timothy P. Brown, footballarchaeology.com. Make sure you check out his site, sign up for his tidbits, and listen to him every Tuesday here on pigskindispatch.com. Tim, thanks again for joining us.
Hey, very good. Thank you, Darren.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.